Good morning, Discovery. Happy Sunday. My name is Carly. I have been serving with Discovery for the last 11 months as the communications intern, and Discovery has been my church home for the last 4 years now. If you're new here, I want to say welcome. I'm so happy you've logged on with us this morning. Thanks so much for being here. Pastor John will be with us soon with our current message from our current series, Return. But before he gets on here with us, I highly recommend you get your Bible, something to take some notes with, your cup of coffee, and get comfortable for the message. Discovery is so much more than just a weekend experience. It's so much more than just a live stream service. So if you're wanting to learn more about Discovery and what our church family is all about, I highly recommend you go to our website, discochurch.com, and you can find any resources you may need, any information you may want about groups or family ministries. Everything will be over on the website, discochurch.com. At the end of today's message, we are going to be praying over any prayer requests that you'll send into this text line right down here. So be sure to be texting in your requests. We are so grateful for your willingness to be honest and vulnerable with us and to allow us to pray with you and for you. So please be texting those in because we want to be with you through this time. We want to be cheering you on and walking with you through whatever season you or your family may be in. So thanks so much for being here. I'm so happy you're here. I hope you have a great Sunday and a great rest of your week. Enjoy the message. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Discovery's live stream today because we are officially, do we have like a confetti cannon? Launching our new pop-up sites. It's
Absolutely.
The big day today.
That's
our grand opening, and we're so excited to have out in Puyallup our pop-up that is having its services at 10 a.m. starting today. And we also have our Tacoma pop-up site that meets at 11:50.
Yeah.
Just 11, on the street 15. From this studio.
15.
Did I say 50?
Yeah.
11:15. That's right. And coming soon, not today, but coming soon, our Lakewood services will be at 5:15.
Yeah.
And of course, our live streams continue 9:15 and 11. So thank you so much for being here today.
It's good to have you guys here. Some of you, this is your first time with us. Thank you so much for joining us. We'd love for you, if this is your first time with us, or if you've been with us for a little while and haven't really interacted, we want to share with you some things that you can do.
How about this? If you started coming to Discovery once these live streams started, so sometime between March and now.
March? Oh, it's been forever.
I know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Just if you can, give us a little wave emoji. Or if today is your first day in our chat, if you could just give us a little wave.
How do you do that? How do you do the wave? Do you
Most
just type it in?
Know. Most people know, honey.
Oh.
Yeah. But you.
A lot of, sometimes I just draw it on a card and I put a stamp on it.
Well, I mean, that's one way to go about it. What else is coming up, Pastor John? in Discovery.
In a couple of weeks, what we have is we have on September 27, we're launching our small group ministries.
That's right.
So we'll be encouraging every one of you to join a small group. You can do a small group if you live in Tacoma or you live on the other side of the globe, because a lot of small group experiences actually will be online or have online components. And so really want to encourage you. If you want some information about small groups, just use the text to prayer line and text the word small groups. And we would love to get you paired up with a great small group experience.
We've said since the beginning of Discovery that church doesn't happen on Sunday, but it happens throughout the week in living out life with other believers. And that's always, always been true. But I'm telling you what, our Discovery, our disco groups have been just the lifeblood of our fellowship, specifically throughout these last several months when we couldn't be gathering. Our small groups on lots and lots of Zoom meetings and throughout the week, phone calling each other, and then eventually some social distance gathering, just checking in, taking walks, living life together, making sure that the celebrations of life are celebrated, and when people need extra help, they're getting that. So please consider participating in our upcoming group launch.
Honestly, it's not only just like the lifeblood to us, encouraging to us, it's the command of God in the book of Hebrews. It says, let us not give up meeting together. And so small groups are a way for you and I to continue to live out this call that God's given us to be in community.
That's right. I want to thank Carly for welcoming us today and all the hard work you've done in the last almost year as our intern. Thank you for that amazing welcome and tips on how to participate today via live stream. We're continuing our Return series, and we are still in Genesis chapter
Today we're in chapter 17.
Chapter 17. Yeah. So if you haven't already done so, open up your Bibles to chapter 17 of Genesis and let's ready our hearts to draw near to God together today. We also have coming up right before we go to the sermon, we have a beautiful song of worship. So we just ask that you would take a minute wherever you are today and really ready your hearts and minds to hear from the Lord today.
Absolutely. Speaking about prayer, one of the things that we've loved so much over these last few months together on this online service is we love praying for you and your prayer requests each service.
It's strange to think that before COVID, those taking requests with the people that are worshiping with us in the moment and praying together over those was not an element in our Sunday services.
Right.
And I think it's super cool how God has brought about some new, fresh things. And one of those has been asking you to use our text to prayer line and send in what is on your heart. How can we pray for you, your family? And we ask that you do that again.
To better serve, we
are making a tiny change. Did you want to share about it?
No, I didn't. I was going to say, like, it's one of the ways that we feel like we're together.
Absolutely.
And we feel like we're with you and you're with us is this ability to pray. So,
yeah,
you know, keep doing that.
Just a tiny change as we strive to best serve people in kind of our new expressions of discovery. We're just asking that you are sending those prayer requests in all week long. What will be prayed over live every week are all the requests that come in by 9 a.m. It doesn't mean that if you send in prayer requests after that, they won't be responded to or prayed over by a prayer team. But what we are going to pray over live, we ask that those come in by 9 a.m. on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And
so
you can use that text to prayer line all week long.
Absolutely. So still right now, I know it's after 9, but right now, send in the prayer requests.
Yep.
You have a prayer request, send it in. We're going to pray for it. Prayer team's going to pray for it. We may not be able to see it in time. There's just some changes that are happening. We may not be able to see it in time to do it online on that Sunday morning. So send it in and we'll be praying for you.
Speaking of prayer, let's pray and ask God to speak to every heart this morning. We're so excited to see those that are gathering with us today out in Puyallup and Tacoma, get to worship together. And John's going to lead us in prayer right now. Continue to send in those prayer requests and ready your heart through the song of worship that's coming up next. Let's pray together.
Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for this morning. I thank you that even though this season, this COVID season, has tried so hard to scatter and diminish the impact of your church, it hasn't. You are winning. You have won the war. You won it 2,000 years ago on the cross. 3 days later, through the empty tomb, you have created victory for all of us, a victory over sin, victory over death, victory over all things. We are now more than conquerors because of what you've done. So thank you that you are victorious, even though sometimes it looks the other way when we look outside. Father, even this morning, we want to remember to pray for those who are struggling, not just with the COVID, but there's other challenges going all over the world, and specifically the West Coast right now with the fires. Just pray your protection, Father, over so many people during this time. Father, thank you so much that you're with us and that you're calling us back to yourself. And we so deeply need you to do something in us. Over these next few minutes, as we worship and open your word, transform our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's worship together.
I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart, and you're the one that guides my heart. And Lord, I need you, oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. is more, for grace is found, is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Song to rise to you when temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
Genesis 17, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you, the whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. Then in verse 17, Abraham fell face down, and he laughed, and he said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old. What is so incredible is that God is actively pursuing people. He's pursuing men, women, children, families, and inviting them to return to Him, to his mission, to his family. I find it amazing, incredible, and incredible that God so dearly and consistently pursues us. Here in Genesis, we have the recording of how God interacts with human beings, and specifically how God calls or invites them to return to him, his mission, and his family. And in Genesis chapter 17 specifically, we have God coming to Abram and inviting Abram back into his mission. God's coming to not just any Abram, but a 99-year-old Abram, a man who's seen it all before. 24 years before this time, God came and gave him a similar invitation. And in the last 24 years, Abram has had experiences. He's had pain. He's had difficulty. He's had heartache. And mostly, he's had a ton of waiting, waiting, and more waiting. And now at 99 years of age, Abram's tired. He's bone tired. He's heard it all before, and he just feels like it's all so very old. Over the last week, and in fact in the week to come, we've been talking about God's invitation for us to return to him and his mission and his family. And we've talked about hurdles. We've talked about that even though God pursues us, sometimes there are difficult things that we have to go through to return back to God. And one of the great hurdles to coming back, to returning to God and his mission and his church, is the hurdle of everything feeling so old. Now, honestly, I don't know anybody who has made a decision to get old. I don't know anybody that just wakes up one day and says, you know what, I'm just going to decide to be an old man or an old woman and to think old. More likely, and most for most of us, old sneaks up on us. We wake up one day not expecting it, and here we are. Everything feels tired and exhausted and old. And the truth is old isn't even just an age. It's really a condition of our heart. I know a lot of people who are old in age, but are young in heart. And unfortunately, I know a ton of people who are young when it comes to their age on this planet, but they have grown so very, very old. You know, it's when the cynicism and the disappointments and the exhaustion seeps into our soul and the hope leaves. We stop having hope that God could start something new in us. After all this time and after all of these experiences and after all this disappointment, that God could possibly do something new. And when that leaves, it's devastating. Jesus talked about in Luke chapter 18. In Luke 18, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will," listen to this, "will never enter it." Jesus says it's devastating when our souls get old, right? When the things of this world wear us down and we no longer have the hope to believe that we could return to God and his mission and his family. There is a place for you at God's table. At this very minute, if you still have breath and heartbeat, and it means that God is pursuing you and he's inviting you to come and take your place at his table. Take your place in the middle of his mission, to take your place back in the middle of his family. God is calling for you and for me to return. And I know what's keeping some of us back is this fear that we're just now too old. So what do you do if you wake up and everything feels just old? What do we do? What do we do about it if the childlike hope and expectation of newness is drifting away from us? I'm going to share with you four things this morning that you can do when you wake up in the morning and feel like everything is old. The very first one is recognize your weakness. It's what Abraham did, and I think he did it. In fact, I'm pretty proud of Abraham's response. So if you remember what we just read, he has this encounter with God. God gives him this invitation again at 99. And after God's done talking, Abram collapses on the ground and he laughs. And he says, "I'm 100 years old. My wife is 90 years old. Abraham gets really honest about his weaknesses. For far too many of us, we're still pretending that we're superhuman and still imagining that new and being a part of God's new mission and new work in our lives today requires superhuman effort. The reality is that you're merely human. I like it in the book of Acts, where Paul and Barnabas race out to a crowd, and they say in Acts chapter 14, they say, "We are only human. We're just human beings." And being human means that we have weaknesses. Being human means we get tired. Being human means we get worn out. Being a human being means that we have doubts. And it's so crucial, as part of the human experience, is to also admit it. In Romans chapter 12, it says, "Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment." Be honest with yourself, Paul writes in the book of Romans. Be honest with where you are. Right now, maybe you're sensing that, yeah, I hear God calling, but I'm just feeling like everything's so old. Well, be honest. Speak it out loud to God. In my prayer life anymore, there's oftentimes I start my prayer like this. "God, I'm sorry. I'm just tired today. God, I'm sorry. I'm just worn out." And there's something about being honest and transparent and recognizing your weakness that allows the child to return. You know, one of the interesting things or characteristics about children is that children don't seem to have a problem telling you their weaknesses. You know, one of the things about children is children will tell you when they're hungry. Children will tell you when they're tired. Children will tell you when their pants are full, right? So kids speak up and say, "Listen, I've got a need. I've got a vulnerability and I need your help." In the book of James, it says, "Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up." Abraham, at 99 years of age, he just collapsed on the ground, laughed and said, "God, why at 99? I am so weak and so vulnerable." And that was the first step back into the mission. So if you're feeling like everything is just so old and the hope's being snuffed out, first, recognize the weakness. Second, I call this recalibrate. Now, the definition of calibrate is to adjust, to take in external factors into account, or to allow comparison with other data. So what we do when we're talking about calibrating is that if a tool or an instrument has been used or created in one environment and it's moved into another environment, sometimes the tool or instrument no longer works the same, no longer will give you the same reading, so you have to change it, you have to calibrate. For instance, if I were to bring home a scale from the store, sometimes I bring home the scale to my home and it doesn't read correctly. What used to be 100 pounds now reads 110 pounds. And by the way, if it's a scale in my bathroom and it does that, we've got real problems, right? If I hop on the scale in my bathroom and it's saying, "Man, you are way heavier," it has a real negative impact on me. So we have to recalibrate. We have to adjust it for this environment. Sometimes we feel so very old because we have not recalibrated to our unique design or our unique circumstances. In fact, that's actually where a lot of burnout comes from. Some of us, and maybe some of you this morning, have experienced what we call ministry burnout, where you just feel so old and tired and worn out. Oftentimes, that comes because we have been on the wrong kind of scales. We've been weighing or examining ourselves compared to other people. We've been running in other people's shoes, trying to live under their expectations, trying to measure up to how they live rather than how God uniquely designed us. One of my favorite people to study in the scriptures is David. Since I was just a young man, I have studied and read a ton about David. I love his story. You probably are quite familiar with the story about David and Goliath. It's not only one of the most famous stories in the Bible, it is one of the more famous stories in all of written literature, where young David takes on the big Goliath. Now, you might be familiar that he used a slingshot, but you might not be familiar about how the whole thing comes about. So just briefly, David shows up at a battle. He's not a soldier. He's just a kid. He shows up at a battle to bring some food to his brothers who are soldiers. When he gets there, he hears this loud taunting, these awful curses, and he sneaks his way up to the front lines, and he sees this ginormous man taunting the armies of Israel, casting down dispersions and curses to the armies, and nobody's doing a thing. Now, old David, old's the wrong word, he's young, right? He's just a kid. When David hears this stuff, there's something inside of him that just rages. And he cannot believe not a soul will stand up to this giant, this soldier that is taunting and cursing Israel. So he actually begins speaking up. He's like, listen, I would fight this guy. And so the soldiers start looking around at this little pipsqueak. And eventually his brothers take him to the king. And they say, listen, king, we got this little guy here. He is so on fire. He wants to take on the giant. And so young David sits in the king's presence and he begins to kind of share that he can't believe that no one's standing up to these curses. And he says, I'll take him on. Now the king sees that glimmer of hope in the eyes of that young David. And he says, okay then. He says, why don't you go out and you can take on this giant? And so then the king says, let's get you ready, because every warrior has to have the right warrior gear, has to have the right armor. And so the king begins to dress young David in the king's armor. Now, I'm pretty convinced that young David was probably pretty pumped at this moment, because I know boys. I've been around young boys. They love to dream and imagine one day being a warrior or being a knight and wearing the gear. Boy, in my house, and my boys are growing up gear, but we were all about the right gear. And so I imagine as he's slipping on all that armor, he just was feeling so amazing until he began to walk around in it. David began to try to walk around in the king's armor and hold the king's sword. And for a young guy, he has an incredible moment of wisdom and clarity. And he looks at the king and he says, King, this isn't for me. This wasn't designed for me. This is not how I live and operate. This is not how God designed me. He says, as crazy as it may sound, I'm just going to take my slingshot and 5 smooth stones. And the rest is history. You see, what David knew even at the young age is that he had a unique design in this unique season. And if he's going to succeed, he had to live in that. He had to recalibrate, not live under somebody else's weight of expectations and measurements of success. David knew he had to live the way that God uniquely designed him to live. Hebrews chapter 12 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance. Listen to this. The race marked out for us. God has made a race, a uniquely marked out race for you. He's uniquely designed you, and he set you in some unique circumstances in a unique season. And if you want to have some victory over the old, you need to recalibrate. Recalibrate to this season, to your unique gifts. Stop trying to live underneath somebody else's expectations. Number 3, if you're feeling that oldness creep in, you're starting to doubt if God could really do something new in you, if it's really worth returning again to his church and his mission and even to himself, then maybe it's time to simply refocus on God. You know, one of the reasons we get old and get tired is we lose focus on God. In one of Jesus's great parables, the parable of the sower, it says that sometimes the fruitful vine or the fruitful plant gets choked out. Listen to this: by the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. Jesus says sometimes seed lands on good soil in good places. But over time, we get distracted. We begin to focus on the wrong things. We begin to focus on the things of the world, and they are deceptive. And they begin to choke out the work of God. We begin to feel so very old. In the book of Matthew, it tells us this moment in Jesus's ministry where his disciples are in a boat. And while they're in a boat, Jesus is somewhere else and a storm comes up. And in the middle of the storm, while the disciples are struggling with the waves and fearful of the storm, and they're in this boat, they see a figure walking by. And one of them says, it's Jesus. And the others are like, no way, it can't be Jesus. And then Peter steps up to the edge of the boat and he says, if you're Jesus, call me out. Let me come join you walking on the water. And Jesus says, Peter, step out of the boat. And old Peter steps out of the boat. And the gospel writer Matthew tells us that the first few steps, he's walking on water. I mean, I don't know what that felt like. That had to be amazing. He steps out of the boat with all this faith and all this, you know, vim and vigor and youthful vitality, right? And kind of the newness, right? He's stepping out, he's walking, and all of a sudden he starts looking around and he starts seeing the waves and he starts feeling the mist on his face and the wind in his face. And he loses focus of Jesus and he begins to sink. Gets heavy. He begins to drown. But you know, the good part of the story is that in the middle of all that, I would call it feeling old, he again focuses on Jesus and lifts his hand up, and Jesus meets him there and pulls him up. There may be a lot of reasons why you feel old and why you've been distracted by a lot of things. They may be good things. They may be important, significant, stressful things. But if you're feeling old, I think it's a call for you and I to refocus on Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, we just read verse 1 a minute ago, but verse 2 says, fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and now sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The writer of Hebrews is inviting you and me to refocus our attention on Christ, just like he did on God. And so the writer of Hebrews says, listen, Jesus had incredible distractions. He had the weight of the world on his shoulders. Not just the weight of the world, he had an actual physical cross he was carrying. He was enduring all kinds of shame and pain and suffering. But what he did is he refocused on God and the joy of being focused on God. And today he sits at the right hand of the throne of God. The way to breathe new life, childlike life and faith into old weary bones, is to refocus on God. Last, number 4. You're feeling old. Maybe you're chuckling a little bit under your breath too. Could God do something new in me? At this point, at this stage, after all that I've been or we've been through, is it possible that God could do something in me? This guy here on this online church service, he knows little about my life. And is there at all even possible for me to really believe again? If that's where you're feeling, then let me give you a challenge that it may be time to simply recommit to God. I want to read to you just the first two verses of Genesis 17 one more time. This time I'm going to read them from the Message just because I like the way the Message translates this. It says, when Abram was 99 years old, God showed up. Isn't it like God to show up when we're tired, when we're worn out? God showed up and God said to him, I am the strong God. Live entirely before me. Live to the hilt, and I will make a covenant between us, and I'll give you a huge family. God's invitation to Abraham was this: Abram, I'm the strong God. I'm inviting you to live each and every breath of your life to the hilt, full out, all for me. And here, even at 99 years of age, I'm offering you a covenant. This is an invitation to actually make a physical, real commitment. God's like signing the paper and sliding across the table and saying, Abram, at 99 years of age, I'm inviting you to make a commitment once again to me, my mission, and my family. Abram, are you all in? If you read the rest of the chapter, and you can a little bit later today, you'll see that Abram, after his moment of laughter, he gets up and he makes a recommitment with God. I know for many of us, it's been a long journey, a long walk. Maybe you've made a few commitments in your lifetime. But if you're still breathing, if your heart's still beating, then that means that God is still moving and working in your life. He's not done with you. And I believe he is inviting you and inviting me to recommit. In the book of Revelation, chapter 3, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone, young, old, rich, poor, anyone, hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." Anyone who hears my invitation, walks the door, makes a commitment to open it up, I will meet them there and I'll breathe something new in their life. This morning, I'm going to give you an opportunity. I'm going to give all of us an opportunity to actually make a recommitment. It'll be a recommitment prayer, but I want you to consider before we pray some things that you could do, because I think it'll take more than a prayer. That's why here in a couple of weeks, we're going to kick off small groups again. And I'm going to encourage you to actually make a commitment, a recommitment to dive into a small group. You can use the text to prayer line and you can text in, just say groups, and we'll get you connected to a group. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to host a seminar called the All In Seminar. And it's a moment to make a commitment to go all in, not only with Jesus, but his family and his mission, even in this time. And I think this time is critical for Jesus' people to leave the focus of the waves behind and refocus on God and his mission. So I'd like you, if you're interested, if you're even slightly interested, even if maybe you're not all there, but you're just a little bit interested, I would really encourage you to use that text to prayer line and text the words all in. And we'll invite you, give you all the information, and you can come and consider making a recommitment to God, his family, and his mission. These are incredible times. But if you and I still have a heartbeat, that means God still is pursuing us. So wherever you are, I want to encourage you, just take a moment and pray with me. I'm going to lead us through a prayer of recommitment. So I'm going to encourage you to pray with me. You might, particularly if you're alone, this is going to be easy. Pray this prayer out loud. All right? Wherever you are, pray with me. Jesus, thank you for your incredible and continual pursuit of not just humanity, but of me. I feel old today. In fact, everything feels old. Some of it feels old because the journey's been hard. Some of it feels old because I've been trying to live under other people's expectations and trying to live up to a journey that wasn't carved out for me. I just want to confess today, though I'm tired, I want to refocus on you and make a recommitment today, September 13th, 2020, that I'm all in with you. So just to be clear today, God, I want you to be Lord of my life, and I want to recommit every breath so I can live to the full hilt for you. May you finish what you intend to finish in my life and in this family and in your church. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
And my prayer is that today you are making a decision to return back into the mission and heart of God for you, for your family. And my prayer is that you and I would just continue to allow His Spirit to birth new things in us. So I'm now, I know it's appears magic, but now I am magically at one of our grand opening sites this morning. But I want to take a few minutes and I want us to pray together. Before we pray, I want to remind you that we have some great opportunities coming up by getting involved in small groups are launching on September 27th. And the other great opportunity for you is to send in your prayer requests. Send in your requests. We are together through this and we love praying together. We have a team that is praying for your prayer requests that you send in with us. And I am praying and Tracy is praying and we're going to pray right now online for some prayer requests that have been sent in this week. So if you would join with me again in prayer and let's pray together for God's best. First, we're going to start praying for Beckham. Jesus, we pray this morning for Beckham Williams. He has been through so much and his family's been through so much. He just had an emergency surgery yesterday and to put an implant into his little body. God, we pray that you bring rest and comfort to his parents and healing to him. Father, we pray for those. There's a whole family. The McFalls are so impacted by these fires in Oregon and California. I pray in Jesus' name that you bring a quick relief to this, Father, and certainly bring peace and safety to these families, Father. And we pray your protection for all the men and women who are putting their lives on the line to provide protection for so many during these fires, Father. Father, right now, there's struggles in marriages. This COVID-19 has brought so much stress on homes, but particularly in homes that have been torn apart with divorce, and there's just ongoing tension that's happening. I'm praying for peace, particularly for one family who's asking right now that you would bring some peace and that there be some, the ongoing fighting that's just tearing apart the kids. We pray against that and that you bring some healing there. Father, we're grateful for a new job for Tillman's in. We're so grateful for that. And we pray that he be successful. God and his sister Celeste is heading off to college right down in Oregon. And we pray, Father, that transition would be great. Father, we also want to pray right now. Someone sent in a prayer request for a son who's battling addiction. God, we pray that you would captivate his heart and that he would long for healing and wholeness. God, thank you that you hear us when we pray. And we pray in Jesus' name that you'd be glorified. Even in this COVID-19, be glorified. Bring about your best and your will. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, okay, before we have one other treat for you. So before you log off, I want to remind you of a couple of things. I want to remind you that your involvement in this community faith online or at one of our pop-ups is so vital, not just for you, but for our entire community. And it makes a difference. The way you and I choose to live during this season is making a difference in the world. Thank you for your ongoing prayers. Thank you for your involvement online. Thank you for your ongoing generosity. Your generosity makes such an enormous difference. I want you to hear from Kirsten, who's the director of our Kids and Family Ministries. She's going to share with you a little bit as we head out of this online service. I want you to hear about some things that have been going on that they're celebrating. And then if you have kids and you want to join at 10:15 every Sunday morning, we have a great family engagement opportunity online. So make sure you check that out. There'll be some links that are going to show up here on the screen all about that. Make sure to check that out. God bless you. We will see you next week.
Good morning. I am Kirsten Stave, the Kids and Family Ministry Director here at Discovery. I'd like to celebrate and share with you a brief update about the summer. While the summer was unlike any past summer, we still wanted to find creative ways to be in community and to invite others in with us as well. We kicked the summer off with a photo scavenger hunt, where we had 58 participants in this socially distanced fun activity that took place throughout Pierce County. Next, we launched our Summer Worship Challenge. This was a free 9-week activity open to anyone who wanted to participate. Volunteers compiled and did porch drops of activity kits, and we had volunteers share weekly videos to encourage our participants in the ways they were learning to love God through worship each week. Our summer memory verse was, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." We even had a summer.
I love the Lord with all my heart, with your soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. I love the Lord with all my heart, with your soul, with all my mind, with all my strength.
Liam and Charlie, great work. I just love seeing you guys bust a move. We also just want to thank you for your generosity. $145 in sponsorship was given to cover the cost of 70 kits. We had 69 participants through Discovery, and we partnered with Eternal Anchor, sending an additional 20 kits for their students to participate as well. It is such an encouragement to me to witness the ways that our church body is coming around to build each other up and to also love on our neighbors. I hope you are encouraged as well.